Once again, good morning to everyone. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you all this morning. And I hope you overlook my zealousness to skip verses in that song, but it's a beautiful song. Love one another. What a great theme for the church. You know, we opened this year with this theme that we are members of one another. And I think it's an important theme that we'll be addressing at the first of every month throughout this year and possibly more. And I hope that you remember as you walk through these double doors coming into the auditorium that there were signs on the right and on the left. And it's very important that you look at those signs. They're not just there, like I said before, they're not just decorations. They have a purpose. And, you know, one on the left reminds us that we are members of one another. And all the little words behind there, how we care for one another, build one another up, we're hospitable to one, all those things we'll address throughout this year. And the sign that's on the right simply says, love one another. We're members of one another. We care for one another. We have to work and help one another to build one another up in the most holy faith. And today we're continuing that theme as we march forward through the year. Our lesson title this morning is Honor, In Honor Prefer One Another. And as was read in your hearing earlier, Paul writes those words to the saints. As members of one another, we let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And at verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. And I want you to really focus on those words, giving preference to one another. That's something we should take a lot of time and meditate on. You look at the English Standard Version, and they actually, I think, appropriately translate that, outdo one another in showing honor. And so as the members of the body here at Bedford, we want to strive for that all year. Outdo one another in showing honor to one another. In other words, we prefer one another. And with that in mind, that's what our lesson is today. It's in honor, prefer one another. Paul, he wrote, be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And notice those words, in honor, giving preference to one another. We begin to understand, learning today, a little bit about what honor actually means. So we want to make that clear. We've all heard the command from Exodus chapter 10. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And that's something that we can relate to, how important it is to honor father and mother. You think about father and mother and what they've done for us throughout the years of our lives. And we've all had a father and a mother. And so we look back at that and we think about how they provided everything that we need. They provided the food and the clothing and the cost of going to school and other expenses throughout our life. They were the ones who took us where we needed to go. And Lord willing, put us on the right path to meet the Lord one day in the air. And then you think about that. And Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians the very same quote. And he says it's the first commandment with promise, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. So honoring is a very important thing. And when you know, if you want to connect dots, the Lord Jesus, he said that he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4. And you connect all those things together and you realize that when God said honor, that was a powerful word. Honor your father and mother, because if you don't, you know, if you're going to curse mother and father, you're going to be put to death. So that in itself, for me, is enough information to conclude that honor is a subject that we just shouldn't pass over lightly. And Jesus spoke of people who would honor him with their mouths, but their hearts were far from him. And we know what happens to that group of people. And so we want to connect those dots together. And the fact there's many other scriptures in the Bible that have to do with regarding with honor. To honor is defined by theirs as a valuing by which the price is fixed. Hence the price itself, the price paid or received for a person or a thing bought or sold. See, that honor carries that idea that of valuing another person, giving them great value, showing genuine appreciation and really admiration for one another without any sense of jealousy. We're not, you know, because he makes more money than me, I don't care. He is an honored member of the congregation. Because he makes less money than me, I don't care. He's an honored member of the congregation. He's my brother or it is my sister. And listen, I'm not saying don't misunderstand. When we honor somebody, we're not putting a person up on a pedestal, right? How many churches today honor their preacher? They call him a pastor. This is my pastor. He's my teacher. He's my shepherd, right? And he's above us all. We need to listen to him. No, that's not what I'm saying. We equally honor one another. We equally pull each other up onto a pedestal in high esteem, honoring one another in our hearts, valuing one another as precious. Not just precious because we're in the sight of God, created by God, but precious because we're brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We don't want to be like the Jews, who they put people in different places. They honored people in different levels. They honored each other, really, in their hearts above Jesus. In fact, they were the ones who put a price on Jesus. 30 pieces of silver. That's how they valued Jesus. Jeremiah's prophecy in Matthew chapter 27. 30 pieces of silver. You think about that. What kind of honor is that for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? For the Master, for the Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Great I Am, the one who created heaven and earth. And they valued him with 30 pieces of silver. So we don't want to be like the Jews. We want to value each other in the most precious way, put such a high price on each other. And that will draw us closer together. And we'll have that in our hearts. To honor one another means that we, members, if a member leaves the congregation, it hurts. So, if they have to go to another place to live and to work, and it hurts because that's a part of us and they're leaving. An illustration, when another member is in pain, whether that be emotional, spiritual, or whether it be a physical pain, then that hurts. We should really feel that with them, care for them. When members are troubled, we should be troubled. Every member of this local body is affected when one member is affected or afflicted in some way. And this is the attitude that God has towards us. It's the attitude that we should have toward one another when we think about giving honor to one another. It means that our heart is esteeming others above our own selves. We're esteeming that their value above our value. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and at verse 26, that's exactly what Paul wrote. If one member suffers, all members suffer. If one member is honored, then all members rejoice. And that's the way it should be. Sometimes we fall into a pit of dishonor when we devalue a brother or a sister because of something they said. And that can happen. It's a human thing. Somebody said something I didn't like and I knocked them down a notch on that pedestal. Somebody disagreed with what I believe the scripture is saying and I knock them down a little bit on that pedestal. And that's not the way it needs to be. Sometimes we do that. We marginalize a member, you know, set them apart. They're no longer really like they used to be in my heart. We downgrade them, if you will, to a lesser value. And that can happen, but that's not at all what God wants. So even to the point of ostracizing somebody because of their beliefs, maybe they misunderstand the scripture, maybe they even know that better than we do, but we just can't accept it. And so we place a lesser value on that person. That's not the church. That's the world out there, not the church. When we have a strong attitude of, well, I'm right and you're wrong. You know, you can't have honor for somebody when we think that way. And when we do think that way, that attitude becomes a cancer in the church. And it doesn't stay with us. It spreads around like any cancer. And so, and listen, I am not saying in any way, shape, or form, so don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that if somebody's teaching a false doctrine, but we still need to honor them equal with everyone else, and we need to just sit by and let them teach what they believe, and we'll just do what we believe. I'm not saying that. False doctrine needs to be dealt with in the church. It's leaven. It needs to be cast out. And when we do not honor one another, though, it becomes a cancer. And just like false teaching is a cancer, they're equally destructive. I want you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we want to look at Paul as he paints this just a gorgeous, a beautiful picture of how the church needs to look, how the church needs to be within. So if we turn to chapter 12, we're going to begin at verse 21, and we're going to read right on through there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 21. Here, Paul's talking about the body and how we look at verse 12 and he says that the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And when you go down to verse 20, he's been describing here the body. And he says in verse 21, and the eye, it cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. In verse 26, and if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members honor with it. So what we're seeing here is this image, this beautiful picture, the body of Christ laid out as the heads and eyes and hands and feet and the mouths, every part of the body. And you notice in verse 23 there, how the church bestows greater honor on the parts that are less honorable, the weaker parts. And literally, when you study that all the way through it, it's talking about the church clothing that less honorable part, wrapping them up in honor. In other words, they're encouraging them and protecting them. The Christian Standard Bible itself says that we clothe these with greater honor. And so when somebody's weak or when somebody's faulting or somebody's struggling and that weaker part of the body needs to be enveloped by the wings of our arms, our the way in which we clothe them and wrap ourselves around them. We don't just put them off and say, boy, that the person's not fitting in with my group. We clothe them with greater honor. What a beautiful picture Paul paints of the Lord's people. And you notice in verse 24, Paul talks about our presentable parts have no need. You know, the stronger members of the body, we all have to honor one another and value one another greatly, but the stronger members of the body are the ones that have the strength to help the weaker member. God composed the body having greater honor to that part which lacks. That's how we honor one another in that sense. Scriptures tell us clearly God is no respecter of person. Neither can the church be thus. You know, you think of the words of James in James chapter 2, where, you know, he begins there, we're not going to have respect of people. It doesn't matter what kind of clothing people have when they come in. You know, the people in vile raiment, they're going to be not sit in a bad place, but in a good place. And the people who have the riches and the jewelry and all those things, equal. We don't put them in a bad place. Everybody's equal, James says. Listen, my beloved brethren, he says, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? So there's the qualifier. We honor one another because we are people who love God. And if we love God who loves us and has no respect whether we are poor, rich, it doesn't matter the color of our skin. He loves us all and honors us all. He did great honor to us when you think about it, sending his son Jesus Christ to this world for us. What greater honor could we receive from God? You know, you reason with me. Ask, what is the church to do so that there are no divisions in the body? That's Paul used that word, schisms. We have greater honor to the parts that are lacking. That's how you eliminate schisms. That's how you eliminate the divisions. Somebody's weaker, you just do, you focus on that and help that person, raise them up the best that you can. We edify one another. We build one another up, as Paul wrote in Thessalonians 1, 5, and 11. And we see here in verse 25 and 26 that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Think of that. That phrase. I want you to set that those seven words apart in your heart. Put them in a very treasured place in your heart. Have the same care for one another. Remember how important that is. No matter who we are, what we look like, how we live in the world, no matter what happens as members of the body of Christ, we need to have the same care for one another. We need to spend time meditating on what that really means in our lives. Those simple seven words. The strong care for the weak. The weak need the strong. And they're equally cared for, all one body, not separate entities, all joined together, equal in the eyes of God and equal in the eyes of the church. We're all honored equally. We all value one another, not 30 pieces of silver, but great value. It's amazing, tremendous value. And everybody has the same value. That's, you know, that's a huge difference between the Lord's church and the churches in the world. other churches, you know, they value the praise team. They value the preacher. They value the, what they call their bishops or their archbishops or their popes. And they put them up on a great pedestal. And everybody's down there below them. They kiss the hand, bow at the feet. Nobody bows at my feet. Nobody bows at your feet. We're all equal in the eyes of God and in the eyes of one another. No partiality. God values each and every soul the same. Jesus didn't come into the world to die for him and her and him and her. He came in the world to die for every single soul. Let's look at an example. If you would, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Luke 15, verses 1 through 7. I think you probably know what this is. Jesus is a place where there's tax collectors and sinners, and they've drawn near to him, and the Pharisees, they see that, and they say, you know, look at this man, Jesus, the one that they only valued with 30 pieces of silver, and he's sitting and eating and socializing with these sinners. See, they thought themselves up here. And everybody down here was sinners. But we look at the verse 1 through 7, and that's basically what we are coming to. And look at what he says, Jesus, how he answers in verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends, neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 just persons who needed no repentance. You can get this image of how important the one is. We have 30-some plus members. Every single member is important. If one member's gone, we search for the one member until we find it. If one member falls into sin, we search for that member and strive to bring them back because we love one another and because we honor one another. And when we think about our value, it is really hard not to think about Psalm chapter 8. We read what he said, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Every generation is important to God. Every generation has to ask that question. I look up at the sun, the moon, and the stars, the heavens, all the glory of creation, and God, you died for me. Everyone in this room, Jesus came, suffered on a cross, and died for. No one in this building, no one outside those doors is any different. For God so loved the world. Every soul. Why would we not see that? God made all this glory and all the things that he made. There's nothing more precious to him than you. Your soul. And he's done everything he can. Compared to creation, though, you think about this writer. He's looking at creation. Look at creation. It is so magnificent, and man is so insignificant. I want you to look at this screen. Tell me what you see, or just think about, what do you see? Right? A black square. But I do want you to notice something right there. I don't know if you can see that or not. I'll tell you that is where you are today. That little tiny blue dot. It's about 3.7 billion miles that picture was taken from Earth. On that Voyager 1 space probe, 3.7 billion miles away, it takes a picture of Earth. And you think about that majesty of the heavens, how the vastness of heaven. And yet God so loved you on that little tiny, and you're much smaller than that little speck. Each and every soul. And from way beyond that 3.7 billion miles, somewhere out there in the heaven, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you. And we need to think of one another. So Jesus died a cruel and agonizing death that was a representation of what it'll be like in hell. Cruel, agonizing. And yet he did that and suffered that on the cross because you are the one out of 99. All of you are the one out of 99. You know, we take a little bit closer look at verse 10 at the end of there in Romans 12. In honor, giving preference to one another. Remember what we said earlier, the ESV rightly divides that by saying outdo one another in showing honor. Okay? You see, Paul, you know, he's painting this image. It's not only honor one another, but we give preference to one another. The church, the body, is a family in Christ. We are members of one another. And yes, we do have fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. But the church needs to be preferred. The members of the body need to be preferred above all other things. Because, listen, when I die, unfortunately, I don't believe I'm going to see my father in heaven, my earthly father. I probably won't see my brother, my sister, or my other brother. Because they're all taking paths that are contrary to God in every way. But I pray to God that I'll never lose sight of you and how I prefer each and every one of you. Because you're going to be with us all in heaven. We're all going to be together in heaven, raised up to glory. And so it's very important, those words. Honor, giving preference to one another. That Greek word there, it means to go before, to show the way, to go before to lead, or to go before as a leader. In other words, we're pulling one another along. I'm taking you by the hand spiritually or physically, and I'm pulling you along. It's translated that way. Outdo one another. The harder I pull you, the harder you pull to help another, giving preference. The idea there is that we give honor to others first and we put other people first. Remember what Paul commanded, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. We're here because we honor one another. We care one another. We value one another. We've got a great price on one another's head in that spiritual sense. And listen, this is the mind of Christ who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Right? Verse 8, Philippians 4, verse 8. That was the mind of Christ. He went to that cross for all of you. For all the me's and I's in this world. For everyone. And so we want to get that image of this body and this glorious body that is built by Christ called the church. How we prefer one another. And we paint that picture in our mind. What should that look like in the body of believers? Not stepping out in front. Not making yourself something that you're not. But we outdo each other. By leading the weak, honoring every single member equally, as greater than ourselves. Think about that. It would be a picture of glory for every single soul here today. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, preferring outdoing one another from the heart, placing a great honor, placing a great value on one another. Do you hurt? I want to know. I want to help. I want to console. I want to write a card. I want to make a phone call. I want to make a visit. Do you hurt? See, we live to help, to prefer, to place a great value on one another. I will honor you while you're in the process of honoring me. Not better. We're all equal. But the more you lift me up, the more I lift you up, the greater we are as a body of Christ. You know, it's like a flowing river. And the river is always pushing that water to go that right direction. And everything that's in that water equally flows. If you go down a river in a canoe, which I've done many years with groups, and if everybody sits in the canoe and nobody paddles, all the canoes go at the same speed down that river. Nobody's faster, nobody's slower. We let the Spirit move us down that river, spiritually speaking. That river's in control, and let's let God be in control. We live to help one another. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we make great effort, if you will, to show every brother and sister how we equally respect one another, appreciate one another, prefer one another, and without regard of self-evaluation. That's how what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Honor, value those who are lacking, who are strong. We do. And of course, we honor one another, and we don't forget the most important, equal honor, equal value. We must not lack in giving our attention to the hurting. We give them just as much care as we do to the strong members. In our blood family, we do that, don't we? We inherently just care for one another. We argue and bicker, yeah, but we care for one another. If my brother's in trouble, I'm going to help him, my blood brother, my sister. Any member of my family. But I'll tell you the truth. If I was planning a trip to go somewhere and be with my grandchildren or my children, and this trip's been planned for months, and somebody in the church needed help, would it interfere with my trip? You bet it would. You bet it would. It's not easy to say something. We just need to never forget that we're a family of God. And it isn't easy to be a family all the time. We all need special attention from time to time. We all want to refuse to forget those who maybe need more attention. And we just need to muster up strength and apply to another. And what happens when we fall from that? We become a sin of self-seekers, seeking our own glory. You know, that's one of the most destructive forces that the church ever had to face. The problem of evaluating ourselves greater than others. You know, look at the Pharisees did that. They loved the feasts and the best seats in the synagogue, right? The scribes desired to go around in long robes, loved the greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in the synagogue and the best place, loved to have that great attention. Oh, boy, look at you, scribe, and look at you, Pharisee. That is a problem of over-evaluating ourselves. But if we go to Luke chapter 14, if you'll look there just for a moment, just a couple pages from where we were. And Luke chapter 14, and we'll look at just, you know, it happened in these days, verse 1, in the house of the one rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread. He, Jesus, went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man who came before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering, spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent, and he took them and healed him and let him go. And then he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox, has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath? And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable of those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who has invited you and will come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go sit down in the lowest place, so that when you have invited, when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up to the higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sat at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then he also said to them whom he invited, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or nor the rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. I hope you see that. Jesus, you know, think of God's kingdom, and Jesus is advising you to sit in the lowest place. Don't put yourself up in the high place where you're going to end up lacking honor. Humble yourself. Be the last in line. Go through the door last. At the last table you sit, giving honor to other people. You know, it's such a wonderful thing when a preacher does a gospel meeting and members of that particular congregation, the ladies especially, spend the whole day working and laboring and preparing a meal. And every time you're seated in that place of honor. Even after hours of preparation, the woman sometimes doesn't even sit at the table, just spends time serving. Just an amazing thing, a beautiful picture of what it looks like to put others above yourself. And listen, you can be certain about this one thing, that Jesus values this humility when it's shown. When honor is shown to other people, when I say, I am not first, I'm not second, I'm last behind all of you. That's the attitude the Lord wants us to have. I don't need to be honored. Rather, I should be honoring. We need to teach our children this important truth. They need to learn that they don't want to be the first ones always, like the world teaches. If you're not first, you're last. Open the door for people and let them go through first. Move back in the line and let the elder person eat first. Right? Let others be first, and God will lift you up. He will raise you up in honor. God is teaching us that if we strive to be first, we'll be last. That's contrary to the world, but it is the wisdom from God. And you notice you know, how important it is. We want to outdo one another, showing honor and preference to one another, not seeking an honor for ourselves. So we want to begin today by showing one another honor. For the rest of the year, meditate on those words. Strive to be in a place where we can truly say we honor one another with great value. That'll be pleasing to the Lord, and it'll be pleasing to all of the members. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, and we'll close with this, in Revelation, chapter 5, and verse 11. Two verses. This is John writing these things that are coming from the Lord Himself. He says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" In our lives, as Christians, there's no one who deserves honor more than Jesus for what He's done for every soul. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, there's no better thing you can do today than to give honor to Jesus by obeying the gospel, by accepting the fact that He is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of your sin, being baptized in the water for the remission of sins to be added to this glorious body, and to be honored not just today, not just now, but honored in eternity, to be raised up by God into the heavens to be with Him forevermore. What an honor that will be. And listen, I'm not even going to go where you're not going to be honored. Today you have a choice. If you're not a member of the church, today you have that choice to become a member, to begin a life honoring Christ in the body of Christ here on the earth. And if you are a member of the church and you need help with the church, if you need those arms wrapped around you in prayer, whatever your issues may be, whatever your needs may be, we're here to help. We have a song of invitation, song number 640, which is very appropriate today. I have decided to follow Jesus. Can you say those words as we stand and as we sing?